This is Rabbi Joshua Strulowitz here with Jay Edwards. We are together in the Twitter offices, and together we'll be hosting the conference this Thursday night, February 11th, Jewish Ethics and the Internet. And I'm going to sit down with Jay now for a little bit and discuss a little bit about what he does here and in his history. So first, Jay, first, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to this point working at Twitter in San Francisco.
Hi, everybody. I have worked at Twitter for about 2.5 years, and I originally moved here from Houston specifically for this job because I thought Twitter was a sort of a life-changing product. I really enjoyed it. I started off doing site operations, and now I work on the research team.
Now, there's a lot of internet companies out there, and there's been tons that started and failed. Why did you think this one was going to be different? Why did you, I mean, you moved out here with your family thinking this was going to be a success. What gave you the confidence that this would work or be significant?
I think because I'm generally not a big social media person, right? I only had a Facebook account for a little while, but using Twitter, it really, really spoke to me. It was something that I got very quickly, and it was just great. It was really, like I said, it seemed to be sort of this life-changing kind of product.
What about it was life-changing? So why did you use it personally while you weren't using other social media? What about it was unique?
The focus, what was most important to me was I didn't have to follow everybody who followed me. And it was less about the personal relationships and more about the information. Mm-hmm. So while, you know, I do follow my mother, I follow a lot of other people that provide me information. You know, ArtScroll has a Twitter account, so I get ArtScroll stuff. And it's just sort of this one gathering place for all the kind of relevant information that's interesting to me right now.
Now, what point of the process did you start working for Twitter? Because I remember when we first met, I'd never heard of Twitter.
Right.
And I think I was probably in the majority at that point. And slowly but surely, every time I would see a news story about Twitter, and it would come in drips and drabs initially, I'd forward it to you, we'd talk about it, we'd joke about it in shul. And then suddenly there was just this boom, where within a few months it became a cultural phenomenon. So at what point of the building of this company did you get involved? So kind of what stage were you at?
I'm employee number 9.
Out of how many? How many employees does Twitter have today?
Today, probably close to about 150.
Okay. Now explain what, out here in the Bay Area, we know what, you know, people refer themselves as employee number, and they give a number. Explain what that is and why people do that.
It's just, you know, I think it's kind of a sign of status, you know. And, you know, if you were, say, employee number 9 at Google or employee number 1 at Google, it means you've been there for a very long time, you've seen a lot of things. And that growth, that experience you get from going through those incredible growth curves is very valuable. So, yeah, I was...
Do you have like a sticker you wear every day, number 9?
We don't have stickers. So, yeah, I've been here when we were just very, very small.
Okay. Yeah. So you had just started, the company was just starting out. Now, what's interesting to me about a social media company like this is it's only relevant if many people are using it. Because
yes.
If 3% of the population is using Twitter, no one else is going to use it because there's no one to follow and people aren't going to feel anyone's going to read what they wrote. How do you build up a company... a product that depends on many people using it when in the beginning no one's using it? What's that process
okay,
like?
Okay, so what you're talking about is called the network effect, which is sort of this hypothesis that the value of a network grows geometrically or exponentially to the number of nodes in the network. And you're right, I have some friends who do venture capital investing, and they're like, I'm just kind of scared of social media in general. It's you know, you can never tell. I think one of the things was that everyone at Twitter absolutely loved the product. I mean, very, very passionate users. And most of the user base that we did have at the time, you know, as people started using it, tended to become really, really passionate, avid users of the service. And on the other hand, it's also a sequence of events. You know, it's like a lot of things in life. It's you get lucky, and people use your product in ways you don't intend. You see us being used as sort of an emergency response management thing for people. You know, the fires down in Southern California, people would tweet, "Hey, I've got some water here. You can come and find me." Celebrities have picked up on Twitter as
how important were celebrities in taking and making this take off?
Big. I think a lot of the initial celebrity adoption really brought us to the attention of, like, Oprah. And Oprah thing was really big.
Are you embarrassed that Ashton Kutcher was a big part of your success?
No, I am happy. I am happy for anybody to use Twitter in any way that makes them happy, which is another one of the things that makes it so useful and powerful is you don't have to use it the same way I do it. You know, you don't have to use it as sort of this information gathering thing. Maybe you're like my mother and you just want to follow, you know, her five kids and she's fine.
Right.
But that flexibility is really, really key, I think, in that.
What about corporations? I mean, corporations have taken to this in a number of ways, but it seems that while Facebook is predominantly a social tool, Twitter is many things. It's a corporate tool. It's a marketing tool. It's a social tool. It's, like you said, information sharing and gathering. A lot of writers and columnists use it to report on things in real time or to update people with things that wouldn't necessarily go into a column. Have you been interested to see the way people are using it? And to add to that question, as Twitter was starting, did you have in mind how people were going to use the technology? Or were you just constantly surprised at what people were doing with it?
We have constantly been surprised by how people have used the product. There are a number of features that we have, like at replies and hashtags,
right,
that they're the way they are now because people started using them. The user base started using these conventions, and we were like, oh, this is a feature that obviously there's a need for, and we started supporting it. I forget where we were. Where were we?
So you're constantly surprised how people are using the technology.
Yes, and I think in the early days, we were just like, this is very great. We like this. And there are some subtle aspects of how Twitter's used that have always been kind of difficult to articulate, and we've had to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk for months and months and months sometimes to come to sort of a team consensus about what we were doing. And it really is now, I think we're pretty fixed on the idea that Twitter is about relevant information when you want it, right? It's what do you want to know when you need to know it. So you're right, people can use that for marketing information, or people can use that for, you know, Ashton Kutcher's whatever he's doing right now. I think the flexibility of having that relevant piece of information that you're choosing to follow is the important message. And I think that's really what we're kind of working on right now.
So in the conference, we're going to be discussing some of the ethical ramifications of Twitter and the internet as a whole. And obviously we're doing it here at Twitter because we feel that this is, in many ways, the heart of a lot of the issues, and just it's a great location. One of the questions that we're going to address at the conference is, to what extent do the internet companies think about the ethical ramifications of their technology? And to what extent do you have internal discussions, both at the foundation of technology and as it's growing? Do you look at how people are using it? Do you start to wonder, wait, maybe some people are using it in ways we didn't intend, in a negative way? What are those conversations like? And what are some examples of people using Twitter that you've seen that you're not so comfortable with or you're not so proud of?
We talk about the ethical implications of our work a lot. Since most of us are some sort of this technical internet culture, we've had these discussions before, right? This is, you know, this is nothing new.
Right.
It's, you know, how do you share information? How do people use this? Where's censorship? And, you know, obviously there are civil and criminal legal aspects that tie into this. You know, you can't always act perfectly ethically, or you can't always act perfectly legally. You know, that's it's some a little gray area sometimes. In general, we try not to assign value judgments on information as a company. Now, individually, as a person, and I'm sure the rest of the team would agree, there have been uses of Twitter that we look at and we're like, you know, that's just horrible. But it's, you know, do we squash this group because we don't like what they're saying? Probably not. No, right? That's just not right. I think one of the areas, because this is just kind of talking about content, when you start looking at other nebulous things, that it starts becoming a little, the ethics become a little fuzzier, like geolocation information, right? If we let people post where they are, how do you keep that? How do you use it? How do you make it available? How do you protect people's privacy? How much privacy should you let people protect, right? You know, the more complicated you make a product, the harder it is to use, right? You know, the Facebook privacy settings are just crazy. So if you give people a setting for everything, they're really not going to use it, so your default choice is there. If you look at us, we have two settings. We have your public or your private.
Right.
And we have actually had discussions about, should we have private users? Is that against what we stand for as sort of this open, public, free information exchange?
Right. Tell me now, on the flip side, some of the things that you've, some ways you've seen Twitter been used that you're very proud of. You feel like it's really been an addition to society.
The revolution in Iran. That was, I think, one of... And it's funny. The longer I've worked here, you know, you come to work and you're like, wow, this is crazy. I never thought I would work at a place that would do this. And then you come a little bit later and you're like, oh, this is even crazier than the last time. And then the next day happens and you're like, this is crazier than the last time. I don't even believe this. And for me, I really think the revolution in Iran and using Twitter to organize dissent was like the shining moment of Twitter for me. I can't really imagine there being anything better than that. Even the astronauts sending pictures from space to Twitter, which is cool, not as cool as Iran. And that for me was just a moment I'm hugely proud of.
Have you found it interesting? I know I've seen you post thoughts on the Parsha or thoughts about different, you know, Jewish concepts that you're reading about and learning about. Do you have anything from a Jewish perspective about, you know, how your Jewish life is impacted by Twitter, or how you've seen the Jewish community use Twitter that you found interesting?
It's a lot easier for me to stay. I think I've met online. There's some air quotes there you can't see. People that I wouldn't have met otherwise. I get some viewpoints I don't necessarily get. Familiar with Dove Bear, the blogger?
No.
Okay. Well, you should check him out. He's a good guy. He's okay. A good guy. I think it provides me during my day access to a much higher level of learning that I could just kind of get in 10 minutes in the office by myself, right? If I'm in the office, I've got a little break, maybe I want to look something up online, or I can have this curated list of people that know a lot more than I do that I can say, all right, let me go see what these people are talking about. So it provides very immediate access to very high quality learned people such as yourself.
That's true.
Exactly.
My new classes are up. And as far as the future, I mean, internet companies come and go very quickly. You know, but AOL was huge. Now it's not so relevant. MySpace gets, you know, trumped by Facebook. Are you aware of what else is out there, or having to be innovative constantly because these trends can change so fast?
I'd be lying if I said that we don't think about that. But I think the fact that internally our huge focus is on providing the most relevant information to the people that use Twitter, which almost by definitions means we're going to stay relevant, right? As long as we're providing you with that relevant information when you need it, you're going to like to stay with Twitter.
Well, let's just talk, we have a few more minutes, so let's just talk about the conference. The conference also will be, we're attempting a live stream, but certainly will be audio and video archived as well. You can always go to our website, adothisraelsf.org, and hopefully it'll be on YUTOR as well. So this conference, the brainchild that happened at a Friday night dinner about, I don't know, 8-9 months ago, Rabbi Jacob J. Schachter was in our community for Shabbos, and you had a Friday night dinner with him. And as he learned about what you did and learned what Twitter was, because I don't think he was too aware at the time, I personally found the conversation fascinating because he was asking so many insightful questions and you were attempting to answer them to a beginner. And I was just imagining how many times you had done that for the past couple of years to the uninitiated. I'm sure I was one of those people as well. So tell me what interests you about this conference and why you think it's important.
I think it's important because on the technical side in the Bay Area, you have a lot of people that have spent careers thinking about these kinds of things, right? There are people who think about the ethical implications of network sharing and privacy and avatars and anonymity. And there's this huge wealth of knowledge that people have had just a lot of the discussion about. And I think on the Jewish side, not so much. I think people are just starting to get aware that it's actually a very complex social ethical scene out there, and it needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. You know, people need to understand what's really possible and what's not possible. And I think bringing that together, right, so the thinkers on one side can take the advantage of the experience of the thinkers on the other side is really valuable.
Well, we're excited about the conference. Again, Thursday night, February 11th from 6 to 9 p.m. West Coast time. And hopefully it's going to be the beginning of something new. And personally, I think it's so important because, well, there's so many conferences about ethics, you know, legal ethics, medical ethics, and these conferences have been going on for years. The internet ethics are really the discussions going on today at the Shabbat tables around the country.
And that's because internet ethics affects everyone. You're not always going to need to worry about legal ethics or, God forbid, medical ethics. Maybe if you're not a lawyer or a doctor, you know, maybe once in a while.
Right.
Internet ethics, especially as children grow up, it's every day. You need to think about it every day because you deal with it every day.
Right. And also, I think the world has changed so much in 10 years. I mean, everything is online today.
Yeah.
Everything is online. Everyone is online. And the world has changed almost faster than we can understand the implications of all of these changes. So hopefully this is the beginning of the conversation. And like you said, bring together people from the internet world as well as the Jewish world. We'll have Dr. David Pelkovitz, who will be out here from Yeshiva University, and many speakers from Twitter, venture capitalists. We have a blogger now who's involved, who's very interesting. And a number of other speakers as well. So thank you for your time, Jay. And for everyone else, check out our website, adothisraelsf.org, and YU Torah to find the audio and hopefully the video versions, archives of this conference. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll speak again.